All right.
All right, let's do this. Yeah?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah, Mum. Okay.
It's always you that starts it.
It's always you that starts it. Yeah, we're in for one of those sort of episodes, aren't we?
Yeah, that's what your mum said.
Oh, did she?
Hello. And here we are. Welcome to episode 13 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Yes. Yeah, this is fantastic. Episode 13.
Episode 13. And it's a special episode for our Patreon subscribers. They got to choose which episode we're going to watch tonight.
They did. And so we gave them the choice of two Michael J. Fox films.
Yeah.
The first being Secret of My Success.
Great film.
And the second being Teen Wolf. And they went for...
Drum roll.
Teen Wolf!
Yeah, good choice, guys. Thank you very much. So tonight, yeah, we're going to be reviewing Teen Wolf, if you haven't already guessed.
Yeah, and for those that are just joining us for the first time, my name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And we are going to be taking you through a journey through the 80s. And if this is your first episode, Teen Wolf is a bloody great place to start.
Yeah, as we said, this is episode 13. So if you have just joined us, check out all the previous episodes. They are available. Mm-hmm. There are also special episodes available for our Patreon subscribers.
They are.
So if you...
They are. They are.
What Matt said. Yeah. So yeah, check out Patreon and subscribe and you can get some nice little extras.
Now for this week then.
Yes.
Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf.
Mm. Yes. Initial impressions?
It's all right.
Yeah.
No, it's well, we'll talk about impressions in a minute, but you know, I don't think we've visited 1985 yet, have we?
Oh, we have. Yeah.
Have we?
Yeah, I know this when researching the facts for 1985. We've definitely visited.
Oh, do we? What film did we do that for then? Can you remember? Oh, well, I'm sure someone will tell
Goonies.
Us. Ah, Goonies, of course. Yeah. How quickly we forget. And to be fair, though, we do record these things a long time in advance. So it's been a while since we recorded Goonies.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, it certainly has. But yeah, we need to find some facts about 1985.
Well, shall we rewind?
Yeah. All right, then, Darren, some little facts about 1985. In 1985, Guns N' Roses formed.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I thought I'd include that one. I thought your wife would appreciate that fact.
She does. She does like a bit of the old Axl Rose and Slash.
A bit of the Slash. Also in 1985, Pictionary was released.
Oh, it's a game I've played a few times, but it just fucks with my mind.
Messes with your mind, man.
Yeah, man.
Also in 1985, the first domain name was registered.
Ooh.
You think about it being later than that, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1985, and apparently it was symbolics.com.
Well, sounds like a lot of symbolics to me. There you go.
Another little fun fact I think you might enjoy. So there were other versions before, but in 1985, there was a patent granted for a package saver, and it's since been renamed the Pizza Saver. And that's the little plastic table that sits in a box and stops the pizza box sagging.
No way. That's what it's called. A pizza saver.
Apparently so, now.
I never knew that.
And
see?
That was, yeah, the patent was granted. There were versions before, but yeah, there was a patent granted in 1985 for the pizza saver.
Wow, you learn something new every day.
I know, and we've just got a pizza, so. The last fact is a little known film called Back to the Future came out that year and became the highest grossing film, so starring Michael J. Fox. So it's kind of appropriate that we're doing this film.
I don't think I've heard of that film.
I didn't
and
think,
I don't
yeah,
think I've
no.
heard of the actor either.
So we are. There are your facts for 1985.
Excelente.
And so what about you then, Darren? I think we need to take us through some of the charts.
Oh, you want to hear the chart rundown?
I'd love to hear the chart
okay,
rundown.
Okay then, here we go then. Teen Wolf was first released in America on the 23rd of August 1985. So this week we're looking at the UK charts for the week commencing the 18th of August 1985. At number 10, climbing one place from last week's 11, it's Princess and Say I'm Your Number One. At number 9, it's a fall of three places for the Eurythmics and There Must Be an Angel Playing with My Heart. At number 8, it's another faller, falling one place from number 7, it's Billy Idol and White Wedding. At number 7, falling three places from last week's number 4, it's Tina Turner and We Don't Need Another Hero, Thunderdome. At number 6, it's last week's number 5, Dire Straits with Money for Nothing. And at number 5, it's a climb of 3 places from last week's number 8 for The Cars and Drive. At number 4, it's a climb of 5 places for Kate Bush and Running Up That Hill. And at number 3, falling 1 place from last week's number 2, it's Madonna and Holiday. At number 2, it's a climb from 1 place, it's UB40 featuring Chrissie Hynde and I Got You Babe. And it's a non-mover at number 1, making a second appearance in the top 10 this week, it's Madonna and Into the Groove. And that was the chart for the week commencing 18th of August 1985. What a chart.
Yeah, good chart. Madonna twice in the chart.
Twice in the chart. Kate Bush, The Cars, Dire Straits.
She was also in last week's chart as well, wasn't she?
Yes,
I think she was number 1 last week.
Yeah, she was. She's...
Well, last week, yeah.
As in, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. So yeah, she's done all right for herself, that girl, isn't she?
Yeah. I mean, it might not last beyond the 80s, but we'll see.
We'll be on her 80s, so she's pretty close now.
It's, a really good chart.
Yeah.
Really good chart.
Some great tunes there. If you don't know any of them, go in there. Search. Actually, that's just at number 11 as well, looking through. Do you remember Baltimora? Tarzan Boy.
No.
Anyway, that's a good song.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
A great song as well. Yeah, great chart that week. Anyway, back to, I was going to say The Lion King then. What am I talking about? I mean Teen Wolf.
This week's episode, The Lion King.
The Lion King. Yeah.
So, yeah, initial reaction?
I love it. I absolutely love it. There's not much more to say really about that. It's one of those films that, again, I watched probably pretty close to first release. It stayed with me ever since. I've had a sort of up and down relationship with it, I have to be honest.
All right. You cheated on it? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I've done the dirty on it a few times. But no, it's the last time, maybe it was the last time I watched it, I thought it's quite a nasty film. And it quite upset me a little bit watching it. And I still think, you know, watching it again today, there are those elements to it, but it's not as bad as I remember. And
no, and I think it's a film about redemption and finding your true self and all that bollocks.
Absolutely.
But in a good way.
Yes.
In a really good way.
Yeah. Let's just go straight into it, shall we?
All right, then.
So, long-time listeners will know that at this point in the podcast, Matt has to sum up the film.
I do, yeah.
Yes. So, for however long the film is in minutes,
yep.
Matt gets that amount of seconds to give us the synopsis. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, how long is Teen Wolf?
Are we talking the theatrical version or the Full Moon edition?
I think we'll go with the theatrical version. Yep.
Just disclaimer, there is no Full Moon edition.
you had me going there.
Oh, I did. It was an hour 31 minutes.
An hour and 31 minutes. So it's 91 minutes. You get
91 minutes. Brilliant.
You
get that.
91 seconds.
Oh, damn it.
To give us the synopsis. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have the jingle. And you're off.
Michael J. Fox's Scott Howard. He plays basketball for the school team and is sick of being average as he tells his best friend Booth on a walk home after a game. He also works for his dad's hardware store, and we see him deliver supplies to school where his crush Pamela Wells is rehearsing a play. He asks her about the party later, but she's going with his nemesis, Mick. Styles is trying to buy beer but fails, and on the way to the party he convinces Scott to go in, and with glowing red eyes, he gets the grumpy old fuck to sell him a keg. After some van surfing, they end up at the party, and during a dare game, Scott and Booth end up in a closet and he accidentally rips the back of her dress with his nails. He rushes home and changes into a werewolf. His dad, who is also a wolf, says that an explanation is probably long overdue. Scott lets Styles know his secret, but alas, the secret cannot be kept for long, and at the next basketball game, he wolfs out when playing. This makes him a great player, and rather than freak out the whole school, Scott becomes the star player, a local celebrity, getting the team to the finals. He has a part in the school play, surfing stars as Wolfmobile, and even manages to have sexy time with Pamela. His rival with Mick is worse than ever, and after a confrontation at the bowling alley, ends up going to the dance solo. There is a tussle again with Mick, and Scott is about to be thrown out of school by Thorn, but his dad, who had a history with Thorn, makes Thorn wet himself as he did years earlier. Scott realises that being the wolf isn't all it cracked up to be and renounces the power bestowed upon him. He plays the final game as himself, and through teamwork and the power of being yourself, wins the game by 1 point in a tense shootout. Scott realises he loves Booth and brushes past Pamela to kiss her, while his dad hugs them and an extra exposes themselves in the background as credits roll.
Nice. Okay then. So, the film was 91 minutes.
Yep.
You did it in Drum roll. 1 minute 39 seconds. Ooh, you're 8 seconds over.
Damn it. Close though.
Pretty close. Yeah. Yeah, not too bad at all.
Okay. Wow.
Nice.
Okay. Pretty succinct sort of sum up of the film. What a great film.
Yeah.
We didn't do this last week, Darren, because right. I didn't watch with Mother, but this week I managed to watch Teen Wolf with my mother.
Yeah, nice. This is one of Mrs. Matt's mum's reviews.
Well, first of all, I like to find out what she thinks the film is about, yeah?
Okay, yeah, I like this.
You're going to love this. Right, so here's the reaction.
So, we're about to watch Teen Wolf. What do you think Teen Wolf is about?
I don't really know.
Okay, we'll find out.
Maybe it's a teenager that turns into a wolfman sort of thing.
Well, okay, we'll see.
Now, you see, there was that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she went, oh, no, I think I've got it. Isn't it about a helicopter? I went, you mean Airwolf?
Oh, bless her.
That was
that is superb.
She floored me when she said that. Oh. She went, no, can I change my answer? It's about a helicopter. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Oh, I wish you'd recorded that.
Isn't it genius?
Oh, that is just superb. That is superb.
So, and then here's her review.
So what was your one-line review of Teen Wolf?
The thing about all these lovely films, they've got a lovely ending and everybody is happy. Great.
It is great. I can tell you fell asleep during Aliens last week.
Nice.
That was it. So, yeah. So she enjoyed it. She thought it was a lovely 80s film.
Nice positive ending.
Yes. Airwolf.
You shouldn't laugh at your mother. That's out of order.
Yeah, well, she laughed at herself, to be fair. It was a very funny comment.
Oh, that is terrific. I like that. Yeah, nice.
So it was nice revisiting it.
Yeah. It's a great film.
It is a great film. I think, if I'm right, I think Michael J. Fox, rightly or wrongly, sometimes looks down on it as in, like, when mm-hmm. he was filming it, they were scouting for Back to the Future.
Right.
Down the road and things like that. And he was like, oh, they're doing a Steven Spielberg film down the road and here I am dressed as a werewolf,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And didn't they use one of the houses on the same block?
Yes. Yeah, George's house was there and also Lorraine's. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think the house that Scott lives in is Lorraine's house.
Oh, okay, the same house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
So the IMDb tells me.
The IMDb. Nice. Let's just talk about the film then, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's one of those backwater American town set films
mm-hmm.
With very disinterested people, I suppose, they just get on with their job. There's no motivation to be anything outside the ordinary, especially within Scott's school and within his basketball team. The coach is very much unmotivated.
Oh my goodness, is he unmotivated?
He's great, isn't he? But yeah, he's great. You know, oh, you're doing really well. You know, it's a good score. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
He knows full well it's not. It's just it's
and also, like, look, if you want to. And we'll forfeit the game. We can beat the traffic.
Exactly, yeah. Because he knows the team ain't going to amount to shit, basically. And it's just that sort of half-assed, guys, you're really good. If you need any help, come and see me. But don't expect any help. I'm just going through the party line, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it strikes me as the type of town that if you grow up there, you're probably not going to leave. A bit like there was Thorne's history with his dad.
Exactly.
And he was in love with his mum,
yeah,
and things like that. So yeah,
as in Scott's mum and dad.
He was in love with
not Thorne's own mum and dad.
No, Thorne was in love with Scott's mum, who I'm guessing it's never really explained, but I'm guessing she passed at some point or left,
or maybe she was actually blown away by Mick, because that's what he said, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. I caught your mummy stealing chicken, but yeah, I mean, I think that's a throwaway comment. I don't think she was a wolf. I think he was the wolf.
Yeah, but yeah.
I think Mick probably knows that Scott hasn't got a mum, and he's using that as what an arsehole.
So yeah, and Scott and Booth obviously loves him.
Oh, clearly,
right from the start.
But you're rooting for Booth as well, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, as fit as Pamela Wells is, she's your archetypal bitch.
She's horrible.
She really is. She's a user, isn't she?
As soon as he wolfed out, and okay, I mean, it's suspension of disbelief. Somebody wolfs out in your school, you're going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
The government will be on the town or whatever. But no, he turned into a celebrity. And I like that, though, because it wasn't your first teenage werewolf film, was it? There was I think I was a teenage werewolf years before and things like
right.
that.
I don't know what year that was, but...
It wasn't 80s. It was right. prior to that. But there were teenage werewolf films. But I think this was the first one to have a comedic take on it.
Yeah. Well, sort of. An out-and-out comedic. American Werewolf in London is a very funny film. It's a black comedy. So there are comedic elements there. But yeah, I mean, this is just like suspension of disbelief. Someone turns into a wolf and they become a celebrity.
I mean, it suddenly makes you good at sports.
Yeah.
it's not a perfect film by any means, but it's a nice, heartwarming... I suppose the message is so clear, isn't it? It's... You don't need to be anybody else. You can be yourself.
Exactly.
And that's all that matters.
And it's the film itself is a really good metaphor, I think, if you look deeper into it. I suppose, on its most basic level, it's just a metaphor for going through puberty.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Changing. But also there's the whole thing about, I made a note, what was it? Yeah, it's another metaphor as well for probably race and religion as well, for people that feel different to, the norm in a town. I think it's his dad that says, being what we are, he lists a load of stereotypes, stealing babies in the night and blah, 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 blah.
He does, so, yeah. What's it? And eating chickens.
So there's that. And it's nice that it's there, but with this film in particular, I don't think you should scratch the surface too much.
No, I don't think you should. I think just take it for what it is. It's a bit of fluff. It's an hour and a half film. It's a bit of escapism, but you have a great time doing it. Did you ever think you'd like to be in Scott's position? Wolf out, and...
No, I didn't. I always probably wanted more to be like Styles.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Just have fun.
Styles did have a good time.
Yeah, yeah. Although he's quite annoying. He is that sort of crazy fun friend.
I suppose if you were to look at American Pie terms, he's your Stifler.
Yeah, but without being a complete asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Stifler. He's so funny. But yeah, I love Styles as well. Like I say, it hit me at a time when I was sort of around the same, well, not the same sort of age, but I was in, it dropped here, around the sort of time that I was going to secondary school. So, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
I don't know if it was always intended to be released in August of 85, but the timing on that for the company that, that produced it, I think it was Orion, wasn't it?
No, it's MGM.
Right, okay.
It's got the Roaring Lion at the beginning.
Okay. But so for them to have it come out a couple of months after Michael J. Fox took over the world with Back to the Future.
That's lucky timing.
I mean, that is really good timing.
I mean, there's a few things in it that aren't quite as successful. His transformation, you can see all the bladders stuck to his face and the makeup doesn't quite work. But
I really do like how he looks as a wolf.
Yeah, the final wolf makeup is really good. And it's not like scary werewolf makeup as well, which is good. It's sort of kid friendly.
Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he is cool. And he is very funny. And he suddenly changes. Yeah, whereas before he's awkward. This transformation gives him new confidence. But then the confidence becomes too much and he sort of starts alienating people as well. But he learns, and that's good.
He does. Did you also know there was a cartoon that came out shortly after the film?
Was there really? Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. I don't think I did know, but it doesn't surprise me.
So you can get it on Amazon Prime, right. And I endeavoured to sit through an episode. Oh my God, it's terrible. So James Hampton does the voice of the dad again.
Right.
I think he's the only cast member. It really changes things. It sort of puts Scott with his dad. No, he lives with his grandparents who are also wolves as well. And it changes. Nice. I think it changes the town. And it lasted two seasons.
Wow.
But it's terrible.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me. The sequel. But
what was it? Team Wolf 2?
Yeah, TWO.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ridiculous. I think I've seen it the once. And I'm not even sure I made it all the way through.
Again, cracking actor in it though. Jason Bateman.
Yeah. But you wouldn't want to be cast as,
I don't know. It for me, it didn't work. And I don't even think I made it all the way through.
I think Jay Fox did the right thing by not coming back for it.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But anyway, onto the actual film itself, though.
Yeah.
It's fun. You can tell they shot it quickly. I think it was 3 weeks because Michael J. Fox was doing Family Ties at the time, and one of his cast members was going off to have a baby. He had 3 weeks to film this, and they did it in 21 days. They filmed Teen Wolf. I mean, that's a lot to get through.
It really is, yeah. I guess there's nothing overly complicated about it, apart from the makeup and stuff, but everything else is just a pretty straightforward comedy film to shoot.
And you can see where they've reused some shots in the basketball games and things like that.
Yes, yeah. But there's some really touching moments in it as well. The bit where Scott and Booth are walking down and reminiscing about when they were going to run away from home when they were kids.
Yeah.
It's really nice. It's beautifully acted. It's beautifully scripted. It's shot like in the distance, in the same sort of framing as when Kevin is walking back to home in Home Alone with the bags of shopping and they break. It's just really nice. I really like it.
But also being the same street, I think, where Marty goes running after George in Back to the Future.
Yeah.
You can see it's blatantly the same street, isn't it?
But I guess, that's what happens when you find a family location that's easy and cheap.
We should go and see that. I'd like to go and visit those places.
Yeah. Let's do it. If anyone wants to pay for us to go on a little D&M tour, that'd be nice.
I'd love to go to certain movie locations around the world. That'd be really cool.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to LV-426, though.
No, but that's a reference to last week's episode, and if I'd have known you knew the planet name that well, I would not have used it as a question.
No, you're still banging on about that. Exactly.
But no, Booth is, she's a lovely character, isn't she?
Yeah,
we'll talk about characters in a minute, but the relationships, they're developed, and the dad,
the dad is awesome. Gotta love him. Absolutely love him. He is superb.
But I suppose I don't know how much there is to say about the rest of the film. I mean, we've got loads to talk about with the cast the music and quiz and stuff. But I mean, anything you got written down about the film?
Just that I want a Wolfmobile, basically.
Yeah, that is cool, isn't
Have you ever surfed on top of a car or a van?
That's what I thought when I was watching this. I thought, I think I have, not at full speed, but I think I've been on top of a minibus or something, really slowly. But
nice.
I'm not sure that would you'd get away with that nowadays because they've gone, it promotes kids to get on top of...
Which was exactly the same with Back to the Future, wasn't it? With hanging on to the...
What is it with Michael J. Fox? And
he's trouble, I tell you. He's bloody trouble, that
he's
boy.
He's not an advocate for road safety,
no,
is he?
Bastard. I guess it's a warning as well that when you get what you want, it doesn't always work out. When he becomes the wolf and the town love him, and they slowly start to turn on him, call him a freak and all that sort of thing. So,
yeah, they get jealous of him. But also, it is that whole analogy of be who you are because people will love you.
Exactly.
The important people will love you for who you are.
Exactly.
I know it's really mushy, but actually,
but it's
a lovely message.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, I guess we should take a short break.
Yeah, let's have a little break. Let's pour ourselves some serious drinks and let's talk about the cast.
Okie dokie.
What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts? I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back. Yes, part two of our little look into Teen Wolf.
Yes, we can call that Teen Wolf 2.
No,
we can't.
Absolutely not.
So I didn't manage to find any alternate casting this week. What I did find was, I suppose we need to talk about the teen actors.
Yes, those darn teens.
Yes, so I got some of the ages. Michael J. Fox was 23 at the time.
Right.
Styles, 27. Chubby 26 and Mick 27.
Oh, God. Yeah, so, yeah. It does suffer from that same thing as Grease and West Side Story again.
Yeah.
Old people at school.
Well, I suppose that was the thing back then, wasn't it? It was all, can you get reliable younger talent?
Actual and teens, yeah. Yeah.
Michael J. Fox, so he does pass for a high school student.
Yeah, he did always look a lot younger than his actual years.
Yeah, I mean, in Back to the Future, you don't think he looks too old to be at school.
No, exactly. And it's the same year. So, yeah, absolutely.
And, so he filmed this before Back to the Future. So from what I'm guessing, you're putting the timeline together. So he was filming this, saw the production company scouting for the Spielberg film, and I'm guessing that's when Eric Stoltz was still in it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, ended up doing Back to the Future. I mean, how cool is that?
What a great year for him, though.
Yeah, so Back to the Future, probably July, I guess?
Well, that's what we're saying. That's what it said, wasn't it? The release of this was actually put back.
Yeah.
So it didn't clash with Back to the Future.
Well, you wouldn't want to.
No. No, exactly. Yeah, what a great career move for him. How many good films in such a short space of time?
Yeah, and I think that year we were just looking as well. I think Poison Ivy came out, which you've not seen, have you?
I don't think I have, no.
And it's him, I think he plays like a camp counselor or something like that.
As
so,
in,
like, so he's like,
as in a summer camp.
Yeah, it's all to do with camp counselor. No, so it's all to do with the American summer camps and things like that.
I need to hunt that down and have a look. I might have a watch.
I might be wrong. It might have been a TV movie.
Okay.
But I've got it on video.
Right. Actually on VHS video.
On VHS, nice, yeah. Nice. I do have it on VHS.
Awesome.
And in fact, as we are recording right now, we've hunted down the actual VHS of License to Drive that Darren and I used to watch over and over again.
Every Saturday night. Yeah.
So we've decided when we do finally get round to recording License to Drive, we have to watch it on that original. Oh, that's going to be amazing.
Oh, good memories.
Great memories.
Yeah, and lots of wine as well. The legendary third bottle.
Yeah. It started as the legendary third bottle, then the legendary fourth bottle. And I think by the time we got to five, we couldn't remember anything.
No. Standard, I believe they say.
No.
Yeah.
So how do you want to do this, buddy? Do you want to work through like the main cast and go into the supporting or vice versa?
Yeah, let's do now. Let's start with the main man himself.
Oh, well, okay.
The legend that is Mr. Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is sort of our second Michael J. Fox film, isn't it?
Sort of.
So when we were putting this show together, we did a test pilot and we did Secret of My Success. And it was okay, but it wasn't what we wanted from it. So we kind of went, okay, let's revisit that at another time.
Yeah, which could very well have been this episode.
It could have been this episode, had it not been our Patreons kind of going. So, yeah.
And don't forget, if you want to become a Patreon subscriber, then please do check out all the information on the website and it'll point you in the right direction. And you get some nice, lovely little extras there.
You do. In fact, we're just about to put one up, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
A compilation of the quiz.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jay Fox is probably the glue that holds this together. I think it would be a very different film with another actor.
I think him and his father, James Hampton, they work so well together. So well together. He's such a lovable character. Oh, they're both lovable characters.
He's just dealing with a lot, isn't he?
Yes.
He's dealing with an awful lot. He's not popular, although he's got quite a popular friend.
Yes. Yeah, Styles seems to be that sort of OTT, crazy, madcap.
It does call into question the whole keg thing, though, doesn't it? If he's that popular and he's trying to get a keg and they're like, well, we don't really care about the keg anyway, then he takes over the party.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Jay Fox is, he's just dealing with a lot. He's in love with a girl that's out of his reach, but he doesn't see what's right in front of him, does he? So
exactly. But I mean, just looking at the guy himself, I mean, where would the 80s have been without Michael J. Fox?
A much darker place, Darren.
I think you're probably right. Yeah, it's just, I love him. I absolutely love him. It's just that sort of really nice, likable, funny. I don't really know how to put it into words. It's just, he was so important to me in my teenage years. Mm-hmm. His films are superb. He's superb. Just, yeah, a lovely, lovely guy.
Yeah, what's so funny? That's two fouls. One more and you're out of here.
You're out of here. Nice. I think it was four, but no, we won't digress you.
Four. I think you're wrong. But okay, he's just lovable. In fact, when I started watching this with Mother, I said, well, you know who that is, don't you? She went, no. I went, it's Michael J. Fox. She went, no, it's not, is it? I suppose he looks very different at the beginning. He's covered in sweat and...
Yeah.
But also, did you notice he's got, like, really unintentional. His base costume, if you like, looks very Marty McFly because the blue coat and the jeans.
Well, I guess that was the look of the time, wasn't it? It's a very, I mean, some great 80s hair and some great 80s costumes in this.
I did notice that everyone has real 80s hair in high school.
Thank God for that.
What we did do, though, just before we started recording tonight, is we looked at some scenes that weren't aired.
Yes.
And there's a scene with Michael J. Fox and James Hampton. It's just after the dance, and it looks like that's where Scott decides to give up being the wolf. And we both of us agreed there, didn't we? We said, actually,
it should have been in.
It should have been in.
I don't understand why. It's not as though it's a very long running, unless they were really sort of aiming for that 90-minute runtime. But the scene itself was only about a minute.
It was a minute. Yeah. If you get a chance, check it out on YouTube. It's filmed on someone's television.
Yeah, it's not an official release of the scenes.
Yeah, I think that scene was really nice between, because they do work, like you say, they work well together.
Oh, they're fantastic. His dad's so supportive. And just a nice dad character. He's a nice son. He's got issues, and obviously, you know, being a werewolf is one of them, but he's not a bad guy.
No, not at all. But that does lead us nicely into Harold Howard. So James
Harold
Hampton,
Howard, lovely guy. What a great character. Just a nice, pretty much all the characters in this film, apart from one or two, are nice characters. There's no one thing or another about them. They're just real people, I guess.
And you can tell that Howard has been the mother and father to Scott as well. Yeah. It's just those two, and they're very close.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can see it pains Howard when Scott is going a bit further away from him and enjoying the popularity. You can feel the pain.
Yeah, I guess it's the pain of someone who's been through the same situation and is just saying, you know, just put the brakes on a bit. This won't last.
No. And yeah, he's, I don't know, he's so protective over him. And it's just, he's such a, you kind of go, I would like you to be my dad. He's that nice sort of.
Just a nice guy. And Boof.
Boof.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girl next door.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, you know, it's obvious that Howard wants Booth and Scott to be together.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah.
He gets on really well. Because there's a moment when they're playing basketball.
Yeah.
And it's just obvious that, you know, it's sort of like the daughter he's never had.
Yes.
And he's really trying to push them together. Well, maybe he just wants her for himself. Who knows?
Did you notice she's got a very distinct style, though? She always seems to wear these, like, really colourful vest tops in, like, many different, many different 80s colours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's the kind of quirky best friend, should they, shouldn't they?
So loyal. And you really feel her pain when, you know, she says, she said two words to you. Or I guess there are benefits to being the wolf and all that. You really feel her pain.
You do, and you love it when she's like, no, actually, I'd rather go with you, not the wolf, because I care about you.
Exactly.
Not what you can do when you're a teen wolf.
A show-off dickhead, basically. Well, I mean, he's not a show-off dickhead, but the show-off element is what works for him, I guess, and it's giving him that lift that he does need until he realises it's not what he needs at all. But he does get to have a little bit of sexy time.
Yeah.
Actually, two times he gets to have a bit of sexy time.
Well, he does, yeah. A little bit of snoggy snog with her, and then...
A little bit of rumpty tumpty.
With, let's talk about her then, Pamela. Oh. She's just she's a vile character.
She's fit.
I think she's worse than Mick, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, she is Mick's your jock meathead.
But at least he's honest about it as well.
Yeah,
you know, he's
he
is what he is. But she is like, well, yeah. It's weird because they give hints that she's like, when she got his name at the party, she was like, maybe. But I think she just wants everything. She's a real selfish cow.
Yeah, once something's popular, then she wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, I never got that when they were doing the whole bowling thing. And if Mick's still her boyfriend, why are you kissing another bloke?
Exactly. Sitting on his lap, kissing him on the nose, rubbing your ass in his crotch and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know. She's just a vile person.
Yeah, not nice at all. Not nice at all. But she's looking across at Mick all the time.
Yeah.
To make sure he's watching. She's not nice.
And of course, she does get a comeuppance at the end when he just... I love that bit when he just skirts past her.
No, doesn't say anything. Just literally just gone past her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not important to me. I need to see Booth now.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. She definitely gets her comeuppance and it's a really lovely moment.
It is.
And it reminds me of the end of, I'm not sure if it's a film we'll ever do, but the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
But it's the same sort of situation. The kid in that really fancies a girl in that who's the same sort of character, not very nice. And at the end of the film, she decides that she wants him. And I think, because the line stuck with me since the mid-80s. If anybody doesn't know what the Garbage Pail Kids were, check them out because they were brilliant. They were like a series of what were they? Collector cards?
Yeah, stickers. Well, no, they weren't stickers. They were cards. Yeah collector cards.
But they were sort of like...
they were huge. They were.
Yeah, they really were.
If you remember the 80s, you'll remember Garbage Pail
They were
kids.
Basically sort of a piss take of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah.
But with like, I can't remember the name. It was like Stinky Rob or something, or Farty Trevor or something.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
They were like
that.
Gross, and they were really funny. I really loved them, and they made a film of them. And anyway, yes. Yeah, so the kid in the film really fancies the girl, and she doesn't like him until she gets the opportunity to use him. And at the end of the film, I think the line is something like, "I don't think you're pretty anymore," and he blows her out. And it's the same sort of thing.
He what?
Huh? He blows her out.
Okay. But. Well, yeah. So no, we definitely covered Pamela.
I would definitely cover Pamela. I mean,
there's not a lot to say about Mick. He is what he is. He's
your jock, meathead.
He's he's your jock who obviously just doesn't like Scott.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think he likes anyone who's. It's the sort of character who doesn't like anyone who's got a penny less than them, or is slightly weaker than them on the sports field. It's that sort of.
Well, there's that line, isn't there, that he was held back a year.
Oh, yeah. It Star says that he's like 20 or something, doesn't he?
Yeah. Actually, 27.
But... 27, I think. Yeah.
All right, then. Styles.
Styles. Yeah, I mean, Styles is a difficult one, really, because he should be that great character, that fun, the same sort of Corey Feldman type character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there's something in it that's not quite 100%, maybe as it should be. Maybe a little rewriting the script or another extra scene or something, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't quite work as well as it could, I think, in my opinion. He's still a great character and he's still a good actor and he plays it really well, blah, blah, blah. But it's not quite as big an OT. He gets his moment in the party.
Yeah.
And if he was like that all the way through, he would be much more successful, I think, as a character.
I suppose because a lot of the way through, he's just kind of annoying. He's always asking for money. He's asking for this. But you're right there about Feldman. It had an older Feldman because Feldman was too young to have played him then. But an older Feldman would have made a really interesting Styles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably would have given it a bit more of an edge as well.
Did you ever clock when you were growing up what Styles was searching for in the garage? Because I don't think I did until I watched this.
Was it actually a stash, as in a stash?
It was weed, yeah.
It was actually...
See, I thought he was looking for money, but no, he's searching for his brother's weed.
Yeah, no, I didn't clock that until today, and I thought, did I just like daydream away from something? See, that goes back to my point earlier about some parts of the film a bit nastier than I expected, than I remember.
I mean, that was the thing, though, in the 80s, you stole your brother's weed or something like that, I guess, But also, it would explain why Scott can smell it. Because I always thought it was money when I was growing up. I was like, why is he looking for his... Because you think a stash of money.
Yeah.
How can you smell money? I was like, oh, no, it's weed.
But also in that same scene, going back to the nastiness thing again, it's... And I know it's a product of its time when it says, God, you're not a fag, are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that wasn't a line that sort of landed well. But I mean, it's... As 80s films go, I mean, that was one line out of film.
Yeah.
Which is... I guess indicative of the attitude back in the 80s.
Absolutely. And in comparison to other films we talked about recently, that's a very very much a throwaway non...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not justifying, I'm just saying
absolutely.
It's like...
I mean, the different times thing is definitely a thing. It doesn't justify it, but it was.
But it does. It's interesting how much that sort of stuff leaps out at you when you're watching it with 2020 eyes.
2020 eyes, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, I'm glad you brought up about the stash because I hadn't realised that until today.
Mm. I mean, there's also Lewis, who's a bit of an underused character.
Yes.
I think he's just there to show that not everybody loves the wolf.
Yeah.
Because you need Styles to love the wolf. You need... Well, Booth doesn't, I suppose.
I suppose that's the contrast. Styles can use the wolf to his own advantage, as he does. You know, he makes a lot of money and gets a new van out of it. Not a new van, but a new-to-him van. Whereas Booth is going to stay and be loyal, but say, I don't like the wolf very much. Whereas Lewis just runs... Doesn't want anything to do with him anymore.
No, he doesn't. No, not at all. So it's a bit of an underused character, but it probably... sorry to Lewis, but it probably didn't need to be in there.
No. I do like the character, and I do like the fact that...
I'm just indifferent about him,
Yeah, I think that's the problem, isn't it?
Right. Okay. So let's look at some of the. Oh, there's Chubby.
Chubby. Yeah. Say what you see.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, it's. He's a funny character, though. The guy who plays him, who is it? Mark Holton.
Yeah.
He's got great expressions. I know he's playing the stereotypical guy that's got too much food in his locker and stuff. So, and that hasn't aged so well. But the way he plays him, I mean, there's that genuine moment of joy when he chucks the basketball at the end. He does that over the top shot.
Yeah.
And Scott jumps on his back and they're celebrating. I'm like, yes. And this is so nice.
It's also nice to have a fat guy in the sports team in an 80s film.
Yeah.
Rather than just some muscly.
I think if I'm right, actually, I think he was in Naked Gun as well, where. At the baseball game, he shouts something out like it's Mario Lanza or something like that.
Oh, look,
like
it's
that.
Enrico Palazzo.
Yeah, that's it.
Well,
yes.
That guy,
yes.
Is that him?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Mario Lanza. Where did I get Mario Lanza from? Yes, yeah. It says Naked Gun, Spectator, it's Enrico. Yeah. It was him.
I love that film.
But, well, okay. He's still doing stuff. In 2018, he did the Leprechaun Returns movie.
Okay.
But anyway, back to the character. He's a fun, nice character. Yeah. I really like him.
Fatties usually are. We are. We're always used as the fun character.
Well, all of us.
Shut up.
Yeah, so he's great. But then I you got the faculty then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So a little bit of trivia for you.
Go
apparently,
on.
James Hampton originally auditioned for the role of Coach Finstock.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I never knew that. Okay.
That would be different.
Yeah.
I like the way he plays him, though.
I love it. I love it.
He's just so disinterested. He just wants to eat his chicken.
And that's a lot of chicken there.
That is a lot of chicken. Yeah. And what is it? His rules for life again? Can you remember those?
Don't play cards with someone whose name is the same name as a town.
A city, yeah.
A city, yeah.
Something about a tattoo.
Never date a girl with a tattoo. Is it something like that?
No, dagger on her body.
Yes. Yeah.
And I can't remember the third one.
Good. He's obviously in trouble with the IRS as well, though.
Yeah, well, that's that's your questions coming up.
You bastard.
No. Yeah, he's just a fun character.
Yeah.
Who I believe is in the sequel, but played by a different person.
So basically, yeah, rats deserting a shinkin.
They do that. I think Styles is in the sequel, played by a different person.
Right.
Finstock. Played by a different person. It's, yeah. Anyway.
Well, it shows how memorable it is. I don't remember a thing of it.
I don't know. If we're ever really, really drunk one night, we'll do the sequel and just... No. You never want to do the sequel.
I don't want to ruin this film.
It won't ruin it, but... Okay. The faculty. So Coach Finstock, yeah, he's a fun little character, isn't he? Mr. Lolly.
Mr. Lolly. Which one's Mr. Lolly?
The drama teacher. The stereotypical drama teacher.
God. Darlings, darlings, babies.
I said mauve, not turquoise.
Yeah, more stereotypes. But
yeah, he was very theatrical. Oh, is this? And, I suppose you have seen them, those sort of drama teachers.
We definitely have seen them.
But apart from that, yeah, he's very not forgettable. You can tell he just wants Scott in the play because
I guess out of all the teachers that you see, it's the three guys, Mr. Thorne as well, that are more memorable. I mean, the English teacher?
Yeah, when it goes to the montage of classes where they keep saying wolf, wolf.
Yes, yeah.
Wolf.
And also, woo.
Very funny, Scott, but you are indeed right. The twins were rescued by a wolf.
I love that moment.
Good luck on Complete the Quote this week. I've watched this an awful lot.
Okay.
When I was growing up. Well, yes, there's me all confident now.
Now there's a challenge.
Then I suppose the last faculty member to talk about is Mr. Thorne.
Mr. Thorne, Mr. Pissy Pants Thorne.
So he's a troubled guy, isn't he?
He is, but I mean, he's not an arsehole like Strickland.
No, but essentially, you know, what he did was fall in love with Scott's mum years ago and still holds it against the kid who had nothing to do with it.
But you could say the same thing if he's the same sort of character as Scott. If Mick and Pamela get together.
Yeah, yeah.
In a sort of weird reversal future timey-wimey fucky-uppy thing.
Timey-wimey.
I mean, we don't really learn much about him.
We know that he loses control of his bodily functions when he's scared.
Yeah. Poor bugger.
But that's it, you know. So he was in love with Scott's mum, and Scott's mum and dad were clearly in love. And then so Scott's dad wolfed out and he got pissed himself.
He got Thorne. The girl and Thorne pissed himself.
And he did again.
And he did again, just one growl.
See, I thought, in my head, there was a shot of him pissing himself in this film.
See, I remember a shot of them looking down with wet trousers and a puddle on the floor.
Yeah.
But it wasn't there.
No, it was not there. I guess that kind of covers most of the cast, and this is the only bit I'm missing. Oh, well, okay, let's talk about the grumpy old git.
Your favourite.
He plays him well, doesn't he?
Yes, he really does.
I mean, that whole, he must get so sick and tired of people coming in, because it's a lot stricter than over here.
It's 21, isn't it?
It's 21, but also they card people, you know? So,
yeah.
I remember being 12 or 13 and being able to go to an off-licence to buy booze.
Yeah, but on the flip side, I remember when I worked for a while as a teacher, we took some students across to New York.
Uh-huh. Did you get ID'd?
We went to a restaurant for some food one night, and it was just like a diner, and they sold beer as well. And I ordered a beer, and at the time, when was it? 2009. So I was 35.
Uh-huh.
And the waiter or busboy, what they call them, refused to give me a beer because I didn't have any ID on me. I said, I'm 35 and these kids are my students, basically.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Wow.
But not like, no, I can't do it. So I don't care. I'm not going to give you a beer unless you give me ID. So like, oh, well, fuck you. And at the end of the day, when they brought out the bill, they'd added the 15% whatever tip. And I said to him, can you take this away and take the tip off, please? And oh my God, he looked at me like I was a piece of shit.
That's criminal, man.
Yeah, well, you know, yes.
But to be fair, he should have used his common sense.
Exactly, a bit of common sense. Do I look 21? I wish I did when I was 35, but no, come on.
No, I mean, I remember you at 35. You did look older than 21, is what
Thank
I'm saying.
You.
And I think it's Thank about you. Using common sense. I get the law, but exactly. If there's... That's what we do here, though, is if there's doubt, then you get asked, but...
Yeah, but 35, come on.
I know.
Have a word with yourself, man.
I seem to remember a story about you getting ID'd in the theatre, saying, have you got any ID? And you tugged on your beard and went, that's my ID.
Yep,
yeah,
that happened.
Right, okay.
That was when we were doing court check, so it was 97, so 22, 23 at the time.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, fresh-faced.
But yeah, so he was, you know, just an really... I don't know. It's a memorable character, though.
Yeah.
I remember him.
For me, it's the bit where, you know, he's serving the ladies. And he's all smiling. Yeah, nice, and the minute he looks, the face drops, he sits down and picks up his paper. He knows exactly what's coming.
I guess that's the cast.
That's the cast, yeah.
I'm really, really excited about getting into Pub Quiz this week. Because I think I've got
something. That makes me worried.
I've got something to prove, man. Because this
what are you talking about? It's 2-0 in this round.
Exactly. So I've got to start clawing it back. Pun intended.
Nice. See what we did there. Ooh.
So listen, we are going to take a little break. Get yourself a drink as well and join us for Pub Quiz coming up. Daz, have you heard of Patreon?
No.
Well, back along, you could become a patron of a show, etc. You can do exactly the same thing now, but in a modern twist.
What, like for our show?
Yeah, for our show, yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
So what you can do is support us by signing up to patreon.com/80sadventure. There's four different tiers at the moment. But
what, so people pay and that enables us to do...
Yeah, we're more stuff, but also great. There's rewards for them as well, ranging, you know, from a very small reward right up to bigger rewards and a lot more fun content from us.
So what could people get in return?
You can get early access, you can get your name on your website as a supporter,
nice.
You can get a vote on one of the episodes we do each month.
What, people actually get to vote on what film?
Yeah, and also maybe a Q&A, something like that, have a few drinks with us.
Fantastic.
So yeah. All you have to do is head to patreon.com/80sadventure.
I'm on my way now. Bye!
And we're back.
Sweet.
A little bit worse for wear.
You are.
Okay. So first of all, music.
Yes.
Great, wasn't it? All right, on to quiz.
Yeah. Lots of it, yeah. Cheers.
No, okay, yeah. So it's a real... Who was the composer, Daz?
Miles Goodman.
Right?
Yeah.
What else has he done?
I don't know.
I'm asking you.
I don't fucking know.
Tell me quiz stuff.
That will make it.
So it's... it's good.
It's a real 80s synth score.
Synth score, that's it.
Yeah. It's great. I really like it. It's, I mean, it's never going to win awards without sounding horrible, but...
Well, if it hasn't by now, I mean, 35 years on, then it's probably not going to.
You know what I mean.
But that, it's that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's quite infectious, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Miles Goodman, and he's done lots of things like Little Shop of Horrors and What About Bob and the Bamba. It's a very synth-heavy 80s soundtrack.
Really synth-heavy.
Yeah, and it's great. And that was the start of the time, isn't it? So it's great.
It's funny, though, isn't it? When you think about the score to this and the score to Back to the Future, how vastly different they are. Yeah. I mean, they're very vastly different films, but... I don't know, it kind of feels like Back to the Future's in a different league.
Yes.
I mean...
Well, I think Silvestri put together two full orchestras, didn't he, to record it rather than just one.
Genius.
Yeah. But yeah, not taking anything away from Goodman for this. Yeah, if the budget's not there, then you can't do it. But 80s was synth-heavy, so, you know, you use that score. But he does this thing with... he works in really close conjunction with the sound design as well. So the whole... opening sequence over the titles, you get like this echo of a diminished seventh rocking back and forwards between these two notes with a sort of echoey heartbeat thing as with the
The whole film starts with that, doesn't it? Like,
and it's
the,
quite creepy in a way. Because the diminished seventh is a real sort of dissonant sound. So it sort of puts you on the back foot straight away. I mean, it doesn't last all the way through the film, because it's not that sort of film. But you sort of put off at first. You're not sure where this is going, if it's going to be a horror film. And then you get your... it's a great score. I don't know why you did that. That's exactly what it sounded like to me at that time.
You know you're going to remember that when you're editing. Going, oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm
going
to sit there and just go, oh, my God.
And then I'll probably get a sound clip arriving to me going, listen to this.
Oy, oy, oy. Yeah, so anyway, so you've got that sort of weary opening, if you like, and then just a nice sort of 80s synth score. But pretty much all of the songs in the film as well are written by Miles Goodman.
Are they?
Yeah. I'm not going to go too far into that because that might affect...
So you got like Shooting for the Moon?
Yep, written by him.
Wow, I really like that song as well.
Win in the End,
written by him. Shooting for the Moon,
yeah.
It's got hints of, I can't remember who did it, but Alone?
Hearts, yeah.
It for the longest time...
But this
time,
is like 2 years before that. I think Heart Alone was 87?
They 80? Stole it from Teen Wolf.
Oh my God, we need to get the lawyers on that one.
But yeah, and also Win in the End, what a great song.
Mm-hmm.
They're great 80s songs.
See, I think Win in the End wouldn't be out of place on a John Parr soundtrack.
It wouldn't. No. Or, yeah, some sort of Rocky film.
Yeah.
Win in the End.
It's a great, great song. I think all the songs in the film, they're definitely on the nose.
Yes.
A Wolfman and blah, blah, blah.
And Shooting for the Moon. And also, I want to talk to you about this because we went on a rant a few months ago about...
It's not like us.
I know. We were talking about the song from Journey. What is it? Separate Ways?
Yes.
And I thought it was in the dance at Teen Wolf, but it's not. It's not. It's a song that sounds very similar to it.
Yeah, you misremembered. Yeah. Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? It's.
I mean, they must have spent all their money on Surfing USA.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. But yeah, what a memorable moment. I guess that's what they were banking on.
Yeah.
You stick someone on top of a van, get them driving along the street to the Beach Boys. And yeah, I think it's...
What other song could you use, though, really? Well, Wipeout, I suppose, but it's...
Yeah, maybe,
yeah. But, Surfing USA was just perfect, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was an enjoyable score. It fits with the film perfectly, and...
And like you say, the tracks, the songs that are written specifically for the film, they're very on the nose. You know, Big Bad Wolf, Flesh on Fire, Winning the Air, Shooting for the...
But it's a great soundtrack. And actually, I don't know, maybe it's the vodka... I think it's an underrated soundtrack.
It's a bizarre thing, this film, isn't it? It's sort of a bit... It was massive at the time. There's no two ways about it. It was. But maybe, like I said earlier, just amongst our peers.
Yeah, maybe.
Because I think...
I bet it... Did it get a theatrical release here? I'm not sure it did.
It must have done. Michael J. Fox not getting a theatrical release that soon after...
Probably, yeah. In fact, a funny bit of trivia. In one country, they roughly translated it as like the boy back from the future or something
I think there was Spanish country, I think, wasn't it?
Really deceptive piece of marketing.
And didn't they change his name to Marty or something like that?
Yeah, instead of Scott, he played Marty. So yeah. I wonder if there's a whole generation of kids growing up thinking, well, Marty's changed a lot since he came back.
And I think the Italian release had something along those lines as well. But yeah, you know, why not? If you want to make money, you have to cash in on these things, don't you?
What I'm taking from this is Teen Wolf kind of feels like the cousin that you don't want to come to parties or something like that in Hollywood circles.
Yeah, and I don't get it. Like I said, I think if you talk to people of our age, I think it's probably really important to them at the time. Important to them, but I think they pretty much everyone I went to school would probably love this film.
Yeah, me too. And do you know what? It is an important film for me now. Also, I think it's really phenomenal that we've got through this entire podcast without laughing at the basketball team being called Beavers. But yeah, as far as soundtrack goes, great.
Yeah. You know what that means.
Yes, I do. All right, it's time to try and even the score a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Eyes down for a full house. So then, I went first last week. I honestly don't mind going first again, if that's what you want. Or you can go first. It really doesn't matter. It's up to you.
Thing is, though, I've got some nice questions where I think he might know this, he might not. He stands a chance.
Don't try and set yourself up as the nice guy.
Well, I am, because one of the questions I was going to use was, what is Booth's name? But it's never mentioned in the film, so I thought that's a bit cruel.
Well, then that's not relevant.
But she still had a character name.
Booth.
Yes. All right, okay, so let's start off with this then. So, question number one, Darren. Where did Styles trade in his car for the Wolfmobile?
Oh, fuck off. There's no point even me thinking about that. Bob's car sales. I don't know.
Close. Harry's.
Oh,
and it was even written on the sides. It said, I clocked this when I watched it, Wolfmobile, something like sponsored by Harry's used cars. That. Harry's used cars.
Never mind.
1-0.
1-2, thou. Right. Okay, then. Question one for you.
I'm worried now.
I'm gonna go down the gettable route. What is the name of the shop they buy the beer barrel from?
It is.
You know this, don't you?
Tony's Liqueurs.
You.
Well, liquors.
Liqueurs.
Tony's Liquors. Tony's Liquors. What?
Bastard. Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Ooh, 2-0.
This is fighting talk tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Whose name was on Booth's piece of paper at the party? Oh, I can see it's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere.
Malcolm.
Yes.
God for that. See, that was it. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is. No, it isn't.
Was it one of those things that you watched the film and went, he's going to ask me about that?
No, I didn't even clock that.
Fantastic.
Okay. Question two, then. Okay, I've got 1, 2, 3 other questions. Choose 1, 2, or 3.
2.
What is Chubby eating on the basketball court?
An apple.
Yeah. Prick. Okay.
Right. When Styles gets Scott to go to the liquor store.
Yes.
What colour is the water pistol that he gives him?
Well, it's a luminous sort of yellowy green.
It is. Well done.
Woo! Right. My question three for you, as always, is a complete the quote.
Mm-hmm.
So
I could take this, couldn't I? If I get this complete
quote.
Yeah,
if you get this, you. If you don't, we're into sudden death.
Oh, no.
Right, which quote do I go for?
The easy one?
I think they're both quite easy. Okay, it's between Scott and Styles. Mm-hmm. Styles says, I heard Mr. Murphy, you know, the shop teacher. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I think it is, because I think this was cut out of the broadcast version.
Just
the television.
Spit it out.
I think it was, got his dick stuck in a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, so close, so close. got his dick caught in a vacuum cleaner.
Oh, come on.
What? I need the exact quote.
Really, for stuck and caught?
No, because I'm a nice guy. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Fucking could have given me 20 years either way for the aliens.
Oh, you're still harping on about that a week later.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, so that's one to you.
Yes.
Yes. So that means I have to drink, but I don't think you drank last week. So maybe we should both drink just to make up for it.
So do you want to hear my other questions?
Yeah, go on then.
All right. What was the score at the end?
51-50.
No.
52-51.
Yeah. Okay.
I knew it was around there. But you wouldn't have given me that. Cause it's
What basketball team did Mick play for?
The Dragons.
Yeah. I was right to avoid that question.
Bastard. But you got the other quotes? It's between Scott's dad and Scott. Listen, son, you're going to be able to do a lot of things the other guys aren't.
Like chase the mailman, steal babies in the middle of the night, eat chicken, something like that.
I should have gone with that one, shouldn't I?
It was close though, right?
Yeah, like chase cars and bite the mailman.
Yeah.
Damn it! I got some other questions as well. I don't know if you got other questions. Or?
No, I think I'm done on that.
Okay. How many beer barrels were seen at the party?
How on earth would you get that?
See, that was number one of the 1, 2, 3 option.
I'm
that
guessing
I gave you.
There was about. Did you literally pause that and go? Yep. Right, he's gonna fuck him over.
Yep.
12.
8. Okay. What song plays as Scott is getting ready for the dance?
Staying Alive.
Staying Alive, yeah. Okay, you know this film fairly well then.
Yes.
Better than I do, obviously.
Oh, thank goodness. Well, there we go. That's 2-1. Do you know what? For a second then, I forgot we were doing a podcast. I thought we were just having a chat.
And that's the beauty.
That is the beauty. Well, listen, that's great. I guess this is now time for Last Orders at the Bar.
Last Orders at the Bar, please. Last Orders at the Bar.
So here we are then. The end of Teen Wolf.
Little sum up of Teen Wolf.
Yeah, so I suppose we've got to score it now.
Yes.
I mean, I'm interested as where you're going to go with this because I thought you were going to give Aliens a higher score. So,
right. And then, well, again, therein lies the problem. Do I think this is a better film than Aliens? Or is it just that it comes down to this is more important to me than Aliens?
Well,
or
that's it. It's got to be
a time in my life.
It's got to be your heart, isn't it? It's what you feel about the film, not whether it stands on merit of cinematography and stuff like that. So it's how you feel about it.
Yeah. So again, in that respect, I am torn.
Are you all out of faith?
Ooh, Natalie. It's not the best film ever written or committed to celluloid. But it's an important film to me, and I love the film. So I'm going to go for a 7.
I thought that's where you're going.
Mm, really torn. Tempted to give it a 6.5 again, you know, to match it with Aliens. But
I know there would be people complaining, kind of going, "Well, you gave Aliens a 6.5, you gave this a 7. In which world is Teen Wolf better?" But actually, it's not about being better or worse. It's a different genre.
It's our opinion. It has to be.
And to be honest, buddy, this is our journey through the 80s.
Exactly. I'm hoping you're enjoying coming along for the ride. Okay. Oh, you got a pain for either that, or you're trying to squeeze out a fart.
No, I'm just thinking
very
because
pain face.
The child in me wants to score it higher, but I think if I'm honest, a 7 is fair.
Yeah,
I think it's fair. It's not without its faults. And I think other films of this ilk it would be unfair to put it on that pedestal or something like that, you know. So I think it's a 7, and I think that's a fair score for this film. I think a lot of people would score it lower.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me if we get a lot of emails saying we think you're wrong, but that's fine.
Well, I don't know. I think we might get a lot of saying we're right.
Yeah, or maybe actually saying we're wrong. We should score it higher because I guess it just it depends at what age and what frame of mind you're in when you first see the film. But for me, this film I saw at a time, I loved it, and I still love it.
We're above the average. On IMDb, it's a 6.1. When I think it deserves...
We're not a million miles away, then.
It deserves more than a 6.1, though.
Yeah, I think so. Well, so, to me, personally, yes, I think it does.
Well, as we say every week, let us know. Yeah. Are we wrong? Are we right? I mean, what's your opinion?
And if you've never seen the film, go and watch it.
Oh, let's please. Know, Also, if you've made it this point in the podcast and you've never seen the film, then that's a bit silly.
I guess that there might be people out there that it passed them by at the time. That's the nature of life, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Give it a
whirl,
honestly. But try and look at it with 1985 eyes.
Ooh, I like that, 1985 eyes. Yeah. So speaking of the 80s, though, which we always do, would you like to hear the tagline for next week's film? And this one...
Oh, God, we're doing more?
Yeah, oh. I know.
I thought we were going on holiday.
This is particularly difficult. It's probably the hardest tagline we've ever done.
Oh, see, I don't know. I do. I don't know what's coming up. But, okay, hit me with it.
All right, the tagline for next week's film is...
Yeah.
Grease is still the word. Now, ooh, if you can figure that out...
Grease is... Debbie Does Dallas? Two?
You've actually said Debbie Does Dallas before, I'm sure you have.
Well, not the sequel.
Oh, no, you didn't
still
say
need
two.
Grease. Grease is still the word.
Yeah, what could it possibly be a sequel to?
Guy works down the chip shop. Where's his Elvis?
Yeah, it could be something like that. Yeah. So if you can't get the very obvious tagline, then check out YouTube or our website or Facebook on Wednesday, where all will be revealed.
Yeah, if you haven't already guessed it.
So, guys, have you had a good time with Teen Wolf?
I always have a good time with Teen Wolf.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it, and I will continue to love it. It hasn't let me down, and I'm very pleased that it hasn't. I have to be honest.
No, I'm with you. I don't think there's anything more to say, really, apart from thank you to everyone that's showing their continued support. We are absolutely humbled by it. And I guess until next week, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy.
Cheersy.
It's been quite a slog, actually, but in a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. I'm really enjoying it. You're a slog.
Day slog.
What?
What?
Filthy slog.